Raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders.
Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. Here we go. Let's see if I can figure out how to make this bigger. Okay. Always a technical something going on here. I need an assistant. Tammy, can you come help me get my computer going? All right. So here we go. This is weird. Why is it so small? Oh, there we go. Hey, everybody. I want you to be able to see us. So we say good morning. I'm glad to see you guys. I'm welcome to the Freedom Force Battalion. If you guys are new here, this is the wonderful opportunity to hear about end times, about how God is working in this beautiful day to save us from our enemies. I'm going to take you to melissaredpill.com. melissaredpill.com. And I'm going to show you. I thought I had the screen open, but I'm going to open it right now. This is our website, melissaredpill.com or freedomforce.live. Either way, you can find all kinds of free resources over there. So you can find out the wonderful truth about end times. You're going to find out the wonderful truth about how we're going to destroy them. And today, we are doing our study on the minor prophets on Nahum. I hope you guys are ready. Let's see. Here's the one right here. This is the study guide that has the... Yeah, this is the study of, there's also an answer key, major clues from minor prophets. They told us about this day. Have you done your homework, everybody? Everybody done their homework? Nahum is serious. It's really exciting, and we're going to see how the Lord is really not playing when he says he's going to destroy them. The whole thing is they're going to be gone. I hear it still all the time. I hear people say, do you really think that these people are going to be, removed? I'm like, yes, of course I do. This is what God said in his word over and over and over. We're going to hear it from Nahum. So how are you, Miss Tammy?
I am good. How are you?
I'm real good. I'm real good. I love getting together with our battalion on Saturday mornings. Every Saturday morning, everybody at 10:30 a.m. Central, we look at how this is biblical. If you're a 17 follower, he said many times, this is biblical. He says, read the Bible. God wins. And that's what we do right here. So we're fixing to get started. Don't forget, hit the like button right now, everybody. Hit the like button. And don't forget to always share and subscribe. Make sure your bell is rung so you know when we are having a live. I did 2 surprise lives this week. You never know when Melly's going to do a surprise live. So make sure your bell is rung so you get notified. And make sure your notifications are on. So let's get started. We're going to pray. Again, Lord, we praise you and thank you this morning that you are the king of the world. Nothing can stop what is coming because you are in control completely. And we don't understand exactly all the things that you are doing, but we trust your plan. And we thank you for what you have written in your word so that we can we can follow along and see what you were doing, how you told us thousands of years ago about this beautiful day. And now we are so blessed that you have touched our hearts and awakened us and have helped us to understand enough so that we can fight alongside you. Unbelievable blessing. Thank you so much, Lord. We all together, all of us on the Freedom Force Battalion this morning, are thanking you and praising you that you are not only saving the world, saving us from our enemies, but you are also allowing us to be a part of it. We praise you and thank you, Lord. Make us tough, resilient warriors like in the Joel 2 passage we just listened to, that we go over the walls and through the windows, and we're sharing the truth everywhere, and they cannot stop us. We just thank you. Joel had no idea what it was going to be like in this day where we can just make posts and we can join together from all over the world on Zoom. They would have no idea we could do such a thing as that. But Lord, I thank you that we can gather together and to see what your word says and to share this truth everywhere. What a blessing it is. And thank you for our wonderful president and all these who are working so hard to expose the truth. And we just absolutely trust your plan. Be with us now as we read your word and study your word. Quicken our hearts to receive the truth and also to believe it. We believe you. We know it shows you great honor when we simply believe what you have said. You have said it and we believe it. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All right, everybody ready? Who's done their homework on the in the live chat? If you have, give me a thumbs up. You're ready to go. All right, so don't forget, also, check out, we are on X, Melissa Redpill. The channel has more than doubled in size in the past couple of months, so thank you, thank you, thank you for helping us, because this is where we can reach a lot of people who maybe aren't awake to some of these things, and I'm very thankful that we get a chance to do that. So thank you for liking, I thank you for sharing, I thank you for commenting. It all helps our message to fly, because it's our role to help people know the good news of the kingdom. And there are a lot of great warriors out there, but you know, I think a lot of them are still afraid about end times. If you're not familiar with what I'm talking about as far as end times, this is my bestseller book here, Decoding Revelation, End Times for Them. Tammy loves me to say it. It's the end times for them and 1,000 years of peace for us. Remember that. Never forget that. It's the end times for the cabal. All right. And so this is what the Bible is clearly talking about. We're not escaping earth. We are inheriting the earth. We're taking the kingdom by force. All right. So thank you for doing that, Melissa Redpill. All right. Now, this is chapter 9. Nahum, loot the silver, plunder the gold. It's all stored up for us. All right. So you ready, Miss Tammy?
I am.
All right. Let's go.
Okay. So have you ever heard of Nahum? Just another minor prophet book in the Old Testament. Yawn. Nobody pays attention to poor old Nahum. Have you ever heard a sermon on the book of Nahum? Exactly my point.
Right.
Nope, not very often.
Have you? Has anybody here heard a sermon from the book of Nahum? Right? Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody probably has. That's, we really, in the churches that I've been, I've moved around different times and I've been to different churches, and I've never heard anyone really go through the minor prophets. We just didn't touch them, and I think that most people thought it was just ancient history. We had no idea that the minor prophets were going to give us major clues and tell us about this wonderful day. We just, you know, and even when we read it, to be honest, it was like a veil was over our eyes. I couldn't really understand it until we understood the next verse. Well, one of the things we're talking about here is that who Nahum was angry with. We're going to get to that. All right, so Nahum 1:1.
A revelation about Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite.
Elkoshite. Okay, whatever that is. All right, Elkoshite. What do we remember about Nineveh? Anybody remember anything about Nineveh? Nineveh? Mm-hmm. Anybody remember anything?
Yes.
What do you remember about Nineveh, Tammy?
The whole story of Jonah.
Yeah.
Jonah the Ninevite. He did not want to go there to preach. And the Lord was telling him, that's where you need to go. And then we have the well and the story and the 3 days. And
right.
He eventually went there. So there. Right. But the people of Nineveh were ruthless and thirsty tyrants. And he hated them. I mean, he really did not want to be there.
Right. Right. As we've read in other ones, other books, and Jeremiah's really in Lamentations, are bemoaning the fact that the people in the northern tribes were called off by the Assyrians. And this is Nineveh, is the capital of Assyria. And they it was so, you know, just hated them because they had taken all the people away. But the Lord had told them that they were going to be punished and they had to be ripped out of the land of Israel if they continued to do the Baal worship. So it's not really, in one sense, it's not the Assyrians' fault. Anyway, so it's their own fault for worshiping Baal and following these evildoers to you know, do the child sacrifice. So that's what had happened. So this is, this is who he, and Nahum, when we read the book of Nahum and we see the name Nineveh, we think of the ruthless descendants of these Assyrians, okay? And the descendants of them are the New World Order. These are people who've continued to do this evil, these terrible sacrifices. And this, so the book of Nahum is not really ancient history. Yes, it's ancient history, but it's a picture of how we're going to destroy the New World Order. Okay? So that's the key to understanding Nahum. N for Nahum, N for Nineveh, N for New World Order. Okay, so this is who it's obviously talking about. Whenever you see it, it just makes it so much clearer. When you read the Minor Prophets now, I hope that you guys are seeing that this is making the Minor Prophets so much easier to understand. Because once you know who our enemy is, these Satan worshipers, you realize, I was always, who is he so angry with? And I just didn't, I didn't look at the big picture to understand it was a literal Satan worshipers, you know, and they led us to believe, maybe you guys believe the same thing, that the Satan worshipers were those crazy, you know, people with the had tattoos all over them and, you know, had the had the satanic church or whatever, temple, whatever they would call it. You know, that's who I thought were Satan worshipers. I didn't realize it was this huge criminal cabal that had run the world. I didn't know that. And once you know that, you can understand any book in the Bible, really, and you can understand all the minor prophets especially. All right, number four.
And so, when we read that the Lord is jealous, how is that different from human jealousy? So, Yahweh is a jealous God and avenges. Yahweh avenges and is full of wrath. Yahweh takes vengeance on his adversaries, and he maintains wrath against his enemies.
So you guys can tell us in the chat, what did you used to think when you would read that and you heard about, you know, you read, you know, how God is, you know, full of wrath and vengeance on his enemies? You're like, ugh, that's, you know, it's scary. Who is this that he's so angry with, right? And you know, jealous, you know, that kind of is a word that we need to really unpack and understand what is he talking about there. So you guys can tell in the chat, you know, what you think. Yeah. We didn't know who our real enemies were. I didn't either, D. Reese. None of us knew. Yeah, now we know the Sicko, yeah, bloodline families. Yes, Coast Rider. So we didn't know, but now we do. And now it makes sense. So that's why, you know, really glad that you guys share this book, because I think it'll really help people to, maybe even more than the book on the Decoding Revelation. I think this book can help people, you know, because a lot of people are really stuck in their own way of thinking on end times, but this book really helps them to see, you know, what the Lord is doing in this day. He's raising, you know, people up to fight, just like he promised. That's on Joel. We're going to do Joel next week. All these things that we're learning is, you know, like Malachi, we learned about the terrible sacrifices. You know, they were telling us, the minor prophets were telling us. So Nahum is telling us right here about God being, you know, avenging, like taking vengeance on them, and because he loves humanity, and they have tried to destroy humanity. They've done everything they could to destroy humanity, and they've caused us so much heartache, and just, it's just been awful. We know that. So the Lord is going to destroy them because he loves us, and he wants to save his people, save righteous humanity. And I'm talking about not just, quote, Christians. He loves humanity. He loves the people who've been brainwashed. He loves the people who are ignorant. He loves the people who are, you know, don't understand what he did on the cross. He loves them. He's not coming to destroy them. He's coming to rescue them, because many, many, many people all over the world have been misled. all over the world. We know that. And we have been misled. The honest truth is the church has been misled not just about end times, but we've also been misled about, you know, being used for to protect the very criminal cabal. The church right now, to this day, here we are on August 23rd, 2025, the cabal is, the church is being used to protect evildoers, and they don't even realize it. So, we've all been misled. We've all been deceived. And that's the whole problem with being deceived. You don't even know what you're deceived about, right? Anyway, so his jealousy is that he's jealous to have his people worship him and not worship Satan and not be abused and harmed, okay? So does that help, everybody? Does that make sense? Yeah. All right, anything else, Miss Tammy, do you want to add before we go on to the next one?
Well, the jealous word is a big word, and a lot of people just read that real quickly and go to their interpretation of jealous. And so sometimes when you sit on that word a minute and understand how big it is when he's saying how much he loves us, it changes the definition for me.
Right. Yes.
He's a loving, I think instead of jealous, he's a loving, he covets us. He wants our attention.
Right. Yes. Right. And I think it's okay to use the word jealous as long as we understand what it means in this context, and that the Lord wants our devotion to him and for us to not, in a sense, worship Satan and to listen to his lies. You know, we've all, as long as you listen to the media, the mainstream media, you know, you'll be listening to lies, and he's jealous for you to listen to him instead of the lies. He's jealous for us to worship him. When our thoughts are not directed toward the truth that he has put in his word and we're believing lies, he knows that that is going to destroy us personally and for the entire, you know, country, for the entire world. And so he wants us to worship him, yes, because he obviously deserves it and he's worthy of all of our praise. But he also, just because he knows, If we worship Satan, if we listen to the lies of Satan, we're going to be destroyed. What you put into your heart and mind is what's going to come out in your life, clearly. All right. So, we talk about this a little bit more in this passage of Nahum 1, 2 through 6. So, go ahead.
Okay. Yahweh is a jealous God and avenges. Yahweh avenges and is full of wrath. Yahweh takes vengeance on his adversaries, and he maintains wrath against his enemies. Yahweh is slow to anger and great in power, and will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Yahweh has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry, and dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel languish. The flower of Lebanon languishes. The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, yes, the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken apart by him.
Wow. Wow. Yes, it's not, his vengeance and his rage is not out of control outbursts of anger. It is a settled destruction of the evildoers. He will destroy the evildoers from the earth. Those who have who are bound and determined and have taken vows literally to Satan to destroy humanity. And the Lord will remove them because they will not change because they're indwelt by demons. That sounds outrageous, but that there's no other explanation for it. Yeah, and just like you are filled with the Holy Spirit, they are filled with demonic spirits. All right? So yeah, he is slow to anger and great in power, and he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. He has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Wasn't that beautiful? If anybody doubts his ability to destroy the evildoers from the earth, they're kidding themselves. They're kidding themselves. The earth trembles at his presence and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation, his wrath against evil, harming children, poisoning people when they think it's something for their good, like a jab. The Lord is extremely angry and will destroy those who have done this knowingly. There are people who didn't know, and they maybe, you know, they gave people a shot and they didn't know. We're talking about the ones who knowingly have joined in league with demons to do this. All right. Anything else about this passage before we go on? All right. I'm sorry. Say it again.
Well, no, I had a thought, but I'll save it, I think, for the next one.
Oh, okay. All right. So the other thing is, someone had mentioned in the chat, I saw that Jesus came to show us the way and not to worship. And so I want to expand a little bit on what worship is, because I think we have this idea of worship that is like you have your hands clasped together and your, you know, arm and all that, which is fine if that really helps you to focus on the Lord and to worship Him. I think it's wonderful to sing praises to Him and to pray, and like when I'm praying, you hear me praise the Lord and tell Him how awesome He is. But worship is as it says in I think it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says to it's our spiritual service to worship Him and to have our minds transformed by His truth. That is what it really is to worship Him. To worship Satan is, I'm not worried about people going in and going home to Satan. That's my worry, is that people will follow what he wants them to do. That's how we worship the Lord, is because we follow Him and we believe Him and we do what He asks, what He's told us to do. They're worshiping Satan by believing Satan and doing what Satan wants them to do. Does that make sense, everybody? That's worship. Our true worship is to believe Him and to follow Him. You know, and you know, going to religious service or singing songs in your home, wherever, and praise is wonderful. That's wonderful, but it's there's no better worship than to simply believe Him and obey Him. Am I right, Miss Tammy?
You are. Yes,
I am. I'm right. Thank you. I'm so glad I have Tammy here, because she's like, yes, Melissa's right. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Number six.
Okay. So what does the Lord want us to remember while this judgment is falling on the evil ones? Yahweh is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who take refuge in Him.
Yeah. So what did you want to add to that?
Well, but no, what I was thinking before with the other thought was we may be wanting to see the vengeance, and yet He has a timetable for them. So we may get a little tease a little bit, and we're just to stay with our eyes on Him in faith and believe that it will happen, because it will happen. It's just not going to happen in our timing.
Right.
It's going to be His, and right. he's got a date for everybody.
Yes. And if you kind of fall into that trap, because a lot of social media is that, has that attitude of like, well, no, nothing's happened, blah, 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 all that. So, mm-hmm. Which lots of things have happened. But, this is the thing. And I'm going to say this kind of rude, but understand, I'm saying it with all due respect. If you could do better, go ahead and do it. Right. If you can save the world, you go ahead with that. Right? You go ahead. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, only the Lord is able, as the Bible says, to bind the strong man. He's talking about mm-hmm. Satan. Only the Lord Jesus can bind him and destroy him. And He's doing it in the way that I don't always understand. I was just talking to a dear friend of mine last night who's lost a baby, and it's just so hard. And we were talking about, you know, the difficulty of when things don't go your way and you don't understand. Job did not understand. He did not understand why he had lost all of his wealth and all of his children and all of his business, everything in one fell swoop. Mm-hmm. It didn't make sense to him. He was obeying the Lord. Why is this happening? Why, you know, when I was talking about, why is this happening to the poor people in Gaza? The genocide, the children. Why is this happening? Why is this not stopped? You know, and Habakkuk, we're going to get to that. I don't know if we've done that one already, but Habakkuk was talking about how, you know, he gave a complaint to the Lord. Lord, this has to be stopped. The righteous should not be punished by the evildoers. Mm-hmm. And the Lord didn't really give him an answer, except that He knows what He's doing. And we know and trust Him. And it's our spiritual service of worship to believe Him that He's doing this to save, in the exact perfect way, to save humanity. And that may not be the easy answer. It's not the easy answer. But that's what he's doing. He is rescuing humanity. Whether we can see it or not, we know that we believe his love, right?
Right.
So that's kind of what you were saying.
Yes, because, you know, some people don't even really still with their media understand. They first hear something about Hillary and it's the first time. So we're thinking, all right, he's going to get her now. But now he's just bringing her to people's attention that had no clue. And then they're starting to question and more people are, you know, why does it keep coming up? So I think, his timing is perfect.
Yes. And so you and I have been in this war, the Battle of Armageddon, literally, that we were fighting for years, years. And so we know about a lot of people who are just now waking up, and they can't be slammed with a ton of bricks. It's got to go.
Right.
It's just got to be peeled back. All right. Yeah. So, and once this is all over, then it'll all make sense. Just like in all of your life, just in all of our lives, we've learned. I think most of the people on our channel have learned to trust the Lord. We've learned. We've learned by, one way or the other, as tough as I'm sure everybody on here has been through some tough things. Maybe it was not your favorite. Maybe you prayed and you knew the Lord could say yes, but he said no. And you just learned to trust him. So. All right. What does the Lord promise in Nahum 1:8 that he will do to the evil ones? Read that for me.
But with an overflowing flood, he will make a full end of her place and will pursue his enemies into darkness.
Yes. How about that? How about that? Other things. Habakkuk is in 2 weeks. Nahum, an overflowing flood. Remember how in Matthew 24, it says that when the flood will come and wash them all away. I think that's another picture that we're getting from Nahum. They're going to be washed away. Have you ever seen, these floods? It gets everything and everything goes. So all these evildoers will be washed away. Praise the Lord. And he'll make a full end. Other places it says root and branch gone. So I trust that he's not going to leave one crumb. He's going to go into every nook and cranny. Another one of the books says, and he will pursue his enemies into the darkness. Who? What's the darkness, you guys? What is this talking about?
What is it?
Yeah. Yep, into the abyss, into hell.
The abyss.
Well, I would not want that to be me. Everyone pinch yourself and praise the Lord that you are not one of those that he will pursue into the darkness. What is the difference between with just the grace of God? Just the grace of God, that we were not born into one of these families and taught these evil things and, brainwashed into believing, that we were, should worship Satan. I'm very thankful. I know you are too, that we're not, but these people, they had every chance to come out, but it's an awful thing that these people are going to soon have happened to them. They're going to be cast out of the earth and pursued into darkness. That's quite a phrase. That's one you don't forget. Mm-hmm. All right. If you ever doubt it, I don't know if you want to put that on the fridge. Remember last week we were talking about all the verses to put on the fridge. But if you have a problem remembering that or believing that the Lord is going to destroy all these evildoers, then put that one on your fridge. He will pursue them into darkness. All right. Number 8.
Mm-hmm. So in Nahum 1:9-12a, what does the Lord think of all the evil plots against him? What do you plot against Yahweh? He will make a full end. Afflictions won't rise up the second time. For entangled like thorns and drunken as with her drink, they are consumed utterly like dry stubble. One has gone out of you who devises evil against Yahweh, who counsels wickedness. Yahweh says, though they are in full strength and likewise many, even so they will be cut down and pass away.
Amen. Amen. All right. So what was my question on that one? I don't want to move it back.
Well, it says, what does he think about that? He thinks they're foolish to try to attack him.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
No matter what they try, in the end, he wins. They will be destroyed.
Yep. And I think that they've really been brainwashed. It says this in Revelation 14, that they were deceived into taking the mark. They were deceived too. But their deception is not forgivable. Their joining in league with demons is not forgivable. It's the unpardonable sin. Yeah. And they're entangled like thorns, drunken as with their drinks, consumed utterly. Consumed. Like dry stubble. You think of like a dry, you know, brittle, and it just, the fire just comes and burns it completely away. But I love this passage, though they are in full strength, and likewise many, even so, they'll be cut down and pass away. So we're going to do the song here in a minute about cut you down. We're going to get to that in just a second. Is that where we're going to do this one? Is this the, have I, yeah, I think I better, yeah, I think this is the time I need to play that song. I think this is the one. So yeah, in the book, I talk about Johnny Cash's song, Cut You Down. And I think that Johnny Cash knew how evil these people were. The song that he sings makes you think he knows exactly how evil they are, and the Lord will cut them down. I want you to hear that one. You guys know the song? It's our good old Johnny Cash. He was trying to wake people up with his music. Amazing. What a blessed man.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar.
Oh, wow. Don't tell me we got a commercial. You know, Fluff Tube.
Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
He still sings from heaven to us. Thank you so much, Johnny Cash, if you're listening. He's alive and well, and he's cheering us on in this battle. So he's, you know, President Trump plays this song at the rallies. Right? Isn't that cool? Yeah, this is harkening right back to this passage in Nahum, chapter 1, verse 12. Though they are in full strength, and likewise many, even so, they will be cut down. Johnny knew that. I think he had read Nahum chapter 1. And so, yeah, he had dealt with some people, I'm sure, that were very, very evil. He knew what he was against, fighting against. Amazingly, he got a lot of great truth out with his songs. Even though we were asleep, we didn't really get it, but now we do. All right. Anything else you want to add to that? Okay. All right. Let's do number 9.
Okay. Remember, the Lord had to punish our Israelite ancestors because they began participating in the evil Baal and Moloch worship. The Lord could not allow that to continue. So they had to be separated from the wicked rulers who led them to do these evils, and they had to be chastened and corrected. What is he promising us in Nahum 1:12b through 13? Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more. Now I will break his yoke off from off you, and will burst your bonds apart.
Yes.
He's promising us it's not going to happen to us.
That's right. Again. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. So always remember, when you're reading these Old Testament books, they were, the Lord was angry with his people for worshiping Baal, right, and Moloch. And so he had to punish them and eradicate them, remove them from the land. Why? Because the interesting thing is, when they had a good leader, they wouldn't do that. when they had Josiah and different ones who were good leaders, they wouldn't fall into the Baal worship. But when, you know how hard it is when, you know, they're like the mask. They say, oh, we're in power and you have to wear a mask. You're like, you know, even if you don't want to, it's going against the tide is just about impossible. Anyway, so the Lord was punishing his people, removing them from the land and really for their own good, because then they wouldn't be under these evil kings. Okay. But now when we read it, we see the bigger picture, which is to remove all the ones who are causing the Baal worship, the Satan worship. Okay. The Lord had afflicted them, but he says, I'll afflict you no more. And so this is, we can believe that, receive that for yourself today. We've been afflicted by a lot of different things because of these evildoers running everything. But once the righteous are in place, just like we're seeing right now with all these wonderful leaders like President Trump and RFK and, you know, just all of them in place, it's going to be health and wealth and peace. It's just going to be amazing. So he's going to break the yoke. A yoke is where you're held and forced to plow like an ox. Okay, the yoke is where it's you're attached to their plow and forced, and they beat you with a whip to force you to do whatever they want you to do, and he will burst our bonds, our chains apart. Yay. Thank you, Lord. All right, so I want to show you super quick. This is the divided kingdom. So after Solomon, the kingdom was divided. Rehoboam and Jeroboam, Rehoboam in the south with the two tribes of in the kingdom of Judah. And then the remaining tribes were in the kingdom of Israel. So when you read and you're seeing, oh, well, this is about Israel and this is about Judah, this is what I want you to understand. You know, it's very important that you understand the history, that their nation was divided. Basically, they had a civil war type of thing and just said, okay, we're going to do our thing and you do your thing. So they both fell into this Baal worship, unfortunately. And so it really wasn't a dime's worth of difference between the two of them because they had been infiltrated by these evil leaders. Evil leaders had come into the position of power like we've seen all over the world now. All right, so I want you to see that. And then what happened is Nineveh is right up here. There's Nineveh right there. Can you see that? Right there in the middle. So here's Israel and Judah over here by the Mediterranean Sea, of course, and then it's the northern tribes of Israel and the southern tribes of Judah. The Judah tribes, you follow the green mark, and that go all the way over to Babylon. You think of Daniel and the lion's den and Esther and, you know, all these wonderful stories we hear about what happened over in Babylon and how they returned from captivity with Nehemiah and Ezra. So this is in right here in Babylon, okay? And Babylon, of course, is the biblical term for, you know, these evildoers. It's one, the city of evil. You think of Jerusalem as the city of goodness and peace, and Babylon is the city of evil, okay? And then, interestingly, once Daniel went over, side note, and I have lots of videos on my channel if you haven't seen them, go to melissaredpill.com and just search videos about Daniel. Because by the time Daniel was there, the people were believing in God, which was absolutely an amazing transformation because they had all these good people come over there, and Daniel was one of them. And he was the one who told the wise men to watch for the Bethlehem star, and they're the only ones who saw it and knew and came all that way. That's a long, long way. And you can't come across here. The reason that you've got this green mark here is because if you come across, that's desert. You'll die. So they had to go along by the Euphrates River. All right. But the northern tribes of Israel went where this purple line is. And this is all Assyria up by the northern part of Tigris River. And I think like toward Iran, Iraq, all that up in that area. Now, so this is why he was so angry because they were hauled off. But it was actually beneficial because they did not have to stay under these evil kings. And shortly, Cyrus became the king of this entire empire, and he really actually treated the people well. They were treated better than they were under the evil kings in Israel and Judah. And so that, but the people in Assyria were allowed to go wherever they wanted to go. And so the Lord used that to scatter his people all over the world, which is what he wanted to happen. All right. So I want you to see that when we're reading about being afflicted, it was horrible what happened, that they were taken off into captivity, and they were, how they were, you know, many people died on the trip. Many people were, had horrible things done to them. Families were separated. It was awful. It was awful. I don't want to discount how awful it was. And so, anyway, that's what, you know, when he's, it's talking about the Israelite ancestors, I want you to, you know, understand that that's basically what happened to them. All right. Anything else to add, Miss Tammy? Or anybody? Mm-hmm. All right. I'll watch in the chat while you read number 10.
Okay. In the next part of Daniel 1:14, the Lord tells the Assyrians, the ancient ancestors of the Cabal, that he will destroy every one of them. He will destroy with the witchcraft and satanic rituals because they are so evil. Who does that remind you of today? Yahweh has commanded concerning you, no more descendants will bear your name. Out of the house of your gods, I will cut off the engraved image and the molten image. I will make your grave, for you are vile.
Yes, thank you, Nahum. Thank you, Nahum. So, obviously, this has not been fulfilled yet, because this is, they still have been doing this evil satanic worship. So that right there, that's just a mm-hmm. perfect example of how this is will be fulfilled at mm-hmm. the end times. This is being fulfilled now when these people will be removed. Okay, so clearly that's, you know, has not yet happened. He promised, though, that he would destroy the witchcraft and the satanic rituals. He says, I'll cut off the engraved image and the molten image. And I'll make your grave. So if you, maybe sometimes you read these verses and you're like, what do you mean and cut off the engraved image and the molten image? This is talking about their satanic rituals. Okay. I didn't understand that before. So many times when you would read it, you're like, who's he angry with? What is this molten image? What are these things, right? Sometimes you can go to BibleGateway.com and you can compare verses and it'll help you. But now we really do have, you know, it all makes sense now. We understand what they were doing. All right, Nahum 1:15.
Okay, behold, on the mountains, the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace. Keep your feast, Judah. Perform your vows, for the wicked one will no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off.
Yes. Who's that? That's us. That's
me. The warriors.
Right. Yes.
Fighting. Yay.
Yes, exactly. Because we are here telling the good news. We are the messengers who tell the good news of the kingdom. That the Lord is going to destroy the evildoers. This is our primary message, that his kingdom will come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the good news of the kingdom. The Lord is rescuing humanity. He saved us at the cross, and he's saving us to the uttermost, because he will destroy all the works of Satan. How about that? How awesome is that? That's the good news of the kingdom. All right, number 12.
Beautiful, brilliantly bright days are coming. Now that we know who our enemy is, the Satanic Cabal New World Order, these verses are so easy to understand. What will the New World Order try to do to save themselves, and what will happen? He who dashes in pieces has come against you. Keep the fortress. Watch the way. Strengthen your waist. Fortify your power mightily. For Yahweh restores the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. For the destroyers have destroyed them and ruined their vine branches.
Yes, exactly. yes, I know. Yeah, it kind of looked like that. So, yeah, the wonderful thing is the Lord is going to destroy them. The destroyers have destroyed them, and so the Lord will destroy them, right? He's mm-hmm. not going to allow this to continue mm-hmm. because with the technology that they have at this point, they could wipe out humanity. And we can't, you know, the Lord will not allow that to happen. I know there's a lot of fear-mongering online that's what's going to happen, but it will not. So anything else you want to add to that?
No.
Yeah. He who dashes in pieces. Dashes in pieces. Yeah. These passages are pretty intense. All right. Oh, I've got to read this one. I love this one. All right.
Okay.
Keep an eye out for God's promises sprinkled here and there. Who are the warriors in Nahum 2, 3 through 10? I'm going to tell you before I read it. This is you. This is me. This is us. This is the Freedom Force Battalion and all the wonderful patriots who are fighting this evil cabal. The shield of his mighty men is made red, in other words, with blood. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots flash with steel in the day of his preparation, and pine spears are brandished. The chariots rage in the streets. They rush back and forth in the wide ways. Their appearance is like torches. They run like the lightnings. He summons his picked troops. That's you. You were hand-selected, you guys. They stumble on their way. They dash to its wall, and the protective shield is put in place. The gates of the rivers are opened, and the palace is dissolved. Praise the Lord. Yes. It is decreed. She is uncovered. She is carried away. And her servants moan as with the voices of doves beating on their breasts. But Nineveh has been from of old like a pool of water, yet they flee away. Stop, stop, they cry, but no one looks back. Take the plunder of silver, take the plunder of gold, for there is no end of treasure, an abundance of every precious thing. In other places, their vast, uncounted wealth. That is the New World Order. The wealth that they have obtained is outrageous. They can't even count it all. She is empty, void, and waste. The hearts melt, and the knees knock together, and their bodies and face have grown pale. Yay! Yay for us! We have destroyed them. This is a beautiful picture that Nahum 2 had. In chapter 2, Nahum prophesied that one day we would rise up and we would destroy them. Yes, I love it. There's nothing that can stop what is coming. They're going to be uncovered, carried away, and they're beating their breasts. No, no, stop, stop. But we will not stop. We will not stop until they're gone. Amen? That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. I know President Trump won't. He will not. So, and he's leading the charge. So praise the Lord for President Trump. All right. Anything else you want to add to that?
We're good.
All right. Go ahead. Read number 14.
Okay. No doubt this is the battle we are in right now. What is happening to the cabal? So they're stumbling in their attempts to stop us.
Yep.
They're slipping away. They're about to collapse. Their hearts are melting, their knees are knocking, their faces are pale and trembling. They know they are plundered, emptied, and ruined. They thought they couldn't lose. Now they all lose. Yes. And that's the thing. They're standing there with the last nasty things to say because they know they're fighting. They're trying.
That's right. That's awesome. I love it. I love it. We are going to defeat them. And there's the Bible. The Lord told us through Nahum and lots and lots and lots of places that this is what was going to happen. All right. So let me move this over here. So now number 15, our favorite. That's not what I wanted to do. Our favorite verse in all of Nahum, Nahum 2, verse 9.
Okay. So take the plunder of silver. Take the plunder of gold. For there is no end of treasure and abundance of every precious thing.
Yes.
So everything that they have taken, we take back.
That's right.
It becomes ours. So, yep. So they're getting it all together nicely for us, and then we'll just be able to take it.
Right. They won't be able to use it where they're going. They won't.
That's right.
Right? We will have it all back. We will have it all back. So this is what the Lord promised in his word, and we're just going to watch and see how it all plays out. And I think the tariffs are a big part of that because it's destroying their financial, the way that they've stolen from the world, because they have enslaved so many people who work for pennies a day. And so the tariffs are really making it where that's not financially gainful for them. And because by the time this is over, every country will be free, that every person will be free in the whole world, and they will be able to, there won't be the haves and the have-nothings. All right, so now, number 16.
I love how the Lord taunts them with this next passage, Nahum 2, 11 through 13. They thought they were so high and mighty and powerful, like lions tearing up their prey. They took pleasure in using their power for evil. How is that working out for them? Where is the den of lions and the feeding place of the young lions? Where the lion and the lioness walked with the lion's cub? And no one made them afraid. The lion tore in pieces enough for his cubs, and strangled prey for his lionesses, and filled his cage with the kill and his dens with prey. Behold, I am against you, says Yahweh of armies, and I will burn her chariots in the smoke, and the sword will devour your young lions, and will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers will no longer be heard.
Amen. Amen. The lions have been tearing up their prey. That's us. They've been tearing us up. Where's that? That's going to be gone. They won't have any more of these underground caves, tunnels, you know, all these places to do their evil where they have, you know, hurt children. That's over. I'm against you, the Lord says. I'll burn up your chariots in the smoke, and divine the sword will devour your young lions who think they can get away with murder, literally, and all this evil. We didn't understand these verses before, but now we understand it. I'll cut off your prey from the earth. They will no longer be, the children will no longer be trafficked. Did you catch that President Trump talked about that this week? He brought up about Ursula von der Leyen, about that they are trafficking children. You know, she said, he didn't say exactly like that, but he's calling her out saying, we need to end this horrible, we need to find the missing children. So I'm going to show you guys this passage, this post that I put out the other day, and it's gotten a lot of views. So I'm going to share it. And so if you guys haven't shared this already, I'm going to put the link right here. And if you guys can go and share that, I'm going to just say this is Melly's X post right here. This is the one where I'm talking about the worldwide problem of missing children that President Trump talked about. And so soon they will no longer have the prey that they have use these children for evil. And so he was calling them out, you know, it was a big deal. And he was saying, oh, she's so highly respectable. Well, then if you are, then this has to be stopped. We've got to hold these people who have done this to an account. Unfortunately, a lot of them are a part of it. Mm-hmm. All right. And that's why they, you know, they don't get into these positions of power unless they are willing to play the game. All right, so that was what my post was about that. All right, now, if you like Nahum 2, buckle up, because Nahum 3 held nothing back. Okay, why must these evildoers be destroyed and not forgiven? Nahum 3, verse 4. Go ahead.
Okay, woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery, no end to the prey. The noise of the whip, the noise of the rattling of wheels, prancing horses and bounding chariots. The horsemen charging, and the flashing sword, the glittering spear, and the multitude of slain, and a great heap of corpse. There is no end of the bodies. They stumble on their bodies.
Verse 4?
Because of the multitude of... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. No, good.
Okay. Because of the multitude of the prostitution of the alluring prostitute, the mistress of witchcraft, who sells nations through her prostitution and families through her witchcraft.
Right. Yep, that's who we're up against. Mm-hmm. Who's that sound like, you guys? Clearly, mm-hmm. Clearly that is the New World Order. Mm-hmm. They are, you know, they've been selling nations through their prostitution. It talks about that also in the book of Revelation, the great prostitute, the great harlot. And they have, you know, had everybody join in league with them for a dollar. You know, for any amount of money, they're just willing to do whatever they're told. And that's who we're up against, is, you know, they got rich and powerful on evil. And this is who it is, this bloody city. There's no end to their prey. But the Lord will put a stop to it. I told you to get ready for Nahum 3. Nahum 3 is clearly about the satanic sacrifices, demonic sacrifices straight from the pits of hell, right? There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it, that's what it's talking about. All right, we just didn't see it before, but now we do. All right, so now Nahum 3, 15 through 5 through 14, in this passage, think about the media, the government, and entertainment that we've admired and respected, but now they're being exposed, okay? So as Tammy reads this, and what do we now know that the Lord has been telling us over and over? Go ahead.
Okay, behold, I am against you, says Yahweh of armies, and I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. I will throw abdominal filth on you and make you vile and will make you a spectacle. It will happen that all those who look at you will flee from you and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will mourn for her? Where will I seek comforters for you? Are you better than Noaman, who was situated among the rivers? Who had the waters around her, whose rampart was the sea and her wall was of the sea? Cush and Egypt were her boundless strength. Put and Libya were her helpers. Yet was she carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed in pieces at the head of all the streets, and they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. You also will be drunken. You will be hidden. You will also seek a stronghold because of the enemy. All your fortresses will be like fig trees with the first pipe figs. If they are shaken, they fall into the mouth of the eater. Behold, your troops among you are women. The gates of your land are set wide open to your enemies. The fire has devoured your bars. Draw water for the siege. Strengthen your fortresses. Go into the day, clay, and tread the mortar. Make the brick kiln strong.
Thank you. Yes, clearly the Lord is exposing their evil before all the world.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we just didn't see it. We had, you know, thought these people were great. They, all these people on the media, maybe you might disagree with them or whatever, or all these people in the, all these celebrities and the, these politicians, but we don't think of them that way anymore. Not anymore. The Lord says, I'll lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. And that is what we have seen. Yeah. So, and it says here, it says Nineveh is laid waste. Are you better than these other cities that I destroyed? You think you're better than they are? I destroyed them for their evil. You think I won't destroy you? Is basically what he's saying. And so, yeah, it says here in verse 12, all your fortresses, maybe you have all this money, you have all these judges in your pocket, maybe you have all these, you know, things that you feel like are protections. It won't help. It will not help in this day when the Lord brings down destruction on them, like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they're shaken, they just fall. They just fall straight down. All right. Then the fire will devour you. Yeah. So you can strengthen your defenses all you want. It will not help. It will not help. Nothing can stop what is coming. You can have all the judges in your pocket you want, but it won't help. All right, here's the one where I almost had them out.
It's okay.
I knew
you're
it was somewhere.
You're so excited.
I don't know, but it really belongs actually before, because okay. I don't see cut them down. Cut them down was in that other verse. So
right.
Anyway.
Well, we can put it back. We can move it.
Actually, it might be because we changed the version from NLT to the WEB, and I'm thinking maybe in the NLT it had cut them down. Bottom line, the Lord's going to cut them down. Sooner or later, he'll cut them down, right?
That's
I love
right.
that. All right. I knew it was in there somewhere. All right, so Nahum 3:15-17, what are we told will happen to the new world order?
There the fire will devour you. The sword will cut you off. It will devour you like the grasshopper. Multiply like grasshoppers. Multiply like the locust. You have increased your merchants more than the stars of the skies. The grasshopper strips and flees away. Your guards are like the locust, and your officials like the swarms of locusts, which settle on the walls of a cold day. But when the sun appears, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are.
Yep. Awesome. All right. Yes. This was an interesting one to me also, because this week, very interesting that their darling, what's his name? Bolton was called out on Fox News for his crimes. That they are saying that he allegedly has been selling intelligence to our enemies. Yeah, that's a no-no. That's treason. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, they've increased. You've got all these guards and your officials. And, you know, but which settle on the walls on a cold day. But when the sun appears, they flee away and their place is not known where they are. In other words, all these people you thought were going to protect you, Bolton and Comey and Clapper and all these ones in the deep state, you thought you had all these protections, they'll flee away. That's what it's talking about. You've got all these protections set up. It's not going to help. All right. And they have all these... Yeah, I think that's really what it's talking about. The fire will devour you, and yeah, nothing will stop the truth from coming out. And everyone's just gonna. And it talks about this also in the Book of Revelation that they'll actually, the Lord has put it in their mind to destroy their minions, and because they if there, what's the usefulness of Bolton anymore? If he's been exposed for doing evil, well, let's go ahead and just get rid of him so that doesn't
gum up the works.
there's a word I'm looking for. So it doesn't implicate us. Mm-hmm. That's what they're saying. They don't want any of the, oh yeah, Bolton was a bad guy. He must have been doing something horrible and we need to punish him because he's a naughty, naughty. And so it really, he's been their darling and their minion all this time. But now, since he's being exposed, they're ready to throw him under the bus. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be more and more and more of that. But the ones at the top are wanting to be able to skate. They've always had these ones out in front who did their crimes and were the face of all of this. And they got all this wealth and all, you know, power, mm-hmm. et cetera. And now it's going to implicate the ones at the top. This is not, we're not going to go through all of this and just these minions like Bolton and Comey and Clapper and the rest are punished. We're going to get to the top mm-hmm. of this criminal cabal, at the top of that pyramid. All right, 21.
I love Nathan's big finish in Nathan 3:18-19. Is there anyone who has not suffered from these evil ones' continual cruelty? Let's praise the Lord for all the wonderful things to come. Your shepherds slumber, King of Assyria. Your nobles lie down. Your people are scattered on the mountains, and there is no one to gather them. There is no healing your wound, where your injury is fatal. All who hear the report of you clap their hands over you, for who hasn't felt your endless cruelty?
Yep. We will clap and clap and clap. Their wound is fatal. Their injury is fatal. There's no stopping this. There's no turning back. They're going down, and there's nothing that's going to stop it. And so who hasn't felt their endless cruelty? There's no one. There's no one in the entire world who has not experienced it in one form or another. And when everybody realizes it, the things that had happened to them were done intentionally by these people, everyone will join in league to say they must go. They must go. They must be punished severely to the full extent of the law for treason. And it's because no one has no one's been left unscathed. All right. Yep. Love it. And everyone will clap their hands with joy. All right. Anything else?
Well, the thing about fatal, you know, earlier we're told that one of the heads has an injury, but it heals. We're now being told this time it's not going to heal.
Thank you. Great point. Great connection. Yeah. Right. Yeah. The fatal wound that was healed in the book of Revelation, this mm-hmm. time it is fatal. It, mm-hmm. You know, if you normally a fatal wound is fatal. Right?
It's fatal.
Right. But miraculously, in my interpretation of this, I believe this is what happened, is that this Nazi regime was mm-hmm. had started, and they just proliferated throughout the entire world. And now they're in every town, everywhere. And so mm-hmm. what you would have thought that the World War II would have snuffed this evil out, mm-hmm. it didn't. It actually allowed it through Operation Paperclip, et cetera, to go on. So now, in Nahum 3:19, he was prophesying that one day their injury would be fatal. No mm-hmm. healing for this wound. Thank you. That's a great connection. I love that connection. All right. Anything else? We actually went pretty quick today. Good for us. Good for us. I know you've got something to do, and I know probably, yeah, you guys do too. All right, so next week we're going to be doing Joel. Joel, you guys, yeah. That one's going to be easy for you guys, I think, because you guys have heard that one many, many times. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, don't forget to do your homework. If you haven't gotten your books yet, make sure you go to Amazon and get the study guide. Mm-hmm. You can get the answer key, but do the study guide, because that way you actually do it yourself and don't just cheat with my answers. Okay, so here are the books, Major Clues for Minor Prophets, and you scroll down and you'll see, let me see if I can move out of the way, you'll see, now what you, I'm going to actually put the link in the chat. Here's the one, here's the answer key, but here is the study guide right here. And please don't forget to go and make a review, if you will, and that really, really helps. We have a lot of reviews on the End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace. We have 3,600, so thank you so much, everybody, for doing that. But I need more reviews on the other books. I would really appreciate it if you guys would do that. So here are the books and the study guides. I'm going to put the link right here in the chat. All right. I think that's it. Anything else, Miss Tammy, before we pray?
Good. We're good.
All right. Yeah. Would you like to pray for us, please?
Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, we do love you and we do praise you. And we thank you for this mighty word today. We thank you for all that you give us to do. And we just ask for each person here today to just take in what you have heard and to take it out among people that may or may not have not heard a word of this. This is how we get the word out, as your warriors, Lord. And we just pray that all the wonderful things that we have coming, we're just sitting here excited about the golden age. And we just know that we've fought through so much. And we just ask that everyone here continue to keep their eyes on you and not the situation, because it will all, in your time, come together. Yes. We just stand on that promise. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, darling. I love you so much. Mm-hmm. All right. So, check out, if you want to listen to the audiobook, that can really help to lock this in. You can get the audiobooks over here on melissaredpill.com. And definitely check into the videos. Let's see if I can. Yeah, here is, if you want to find out more about the lost tribes of Israel, actually, when it was talking about the scattered tribes, I meant to mention this and I did not. Mm-hmm. This is where they were scattered. This book, this video series right here, The Biblical Lost Tribes of Israel, that explains where a lot of the tribes went. So check that out. Also check out the book. Listen real carefully, because it's a long name of this book. It's called Missing Links Discovered in Assyrian Tablets. It's a long title, but that's the name of the book that tells where, it has all the research that shows where the tribes went. And many of us are the lost tribes of Israel. We just didn't know it. So definitely check into that. And then also, this is the where we have all the minor prophet studies that we've done. We've done 8 so far. Today was number 9, so get ready for number 10 next week. Don't forget to also check into the health. If you haven't seen about my the different ways that people are being healed, just check it out. It's so exciting. Check out my Healing the Heart, how the Lord saved me from being poisoned. Check out my green smoothie. Check out the lifting depression and even bipolar. You know, the things that I put on here are things that, you know, I've seen people being recovering and being made well. And it's so exciting to see we're living in this beautiful day. Don't forget Prescribing Life. Oh, they're on a mission trip right now. They're so wonderful, helping people all over the world who they don't have the money to go to have big pharma. And they're getting well with the neural therapy at prescribinglife.com. So definitely check into that too. That's on my health links page. I have tons of research over there about methylene blue. And if you didn't see my video I did this week about life extension, definitely go and watch that. Let me show you that super quick. Yeah, but all this research right here about silver, there's free ebooks over there about that. I had a little boo-boo, and I have used the chlorine dioxide, and it's getting well. It's amazing. I'm loving the natural remedies. I was going to show you one other thing. Oh, yeah. If you go to, hang on real super quick. Let me grab this real quick. If you go to the... our channel. All right, here we go. Let me grab it and put it over here. Here is this one right here that I did, the life extension one. Definitely check into that, because that was one of my most fun videos I've ever done. And to connect the dots about the science that's coming, that we're seeing, as well as what the Lord has said in His Word, it's really, really exciting. So definitely check into that. All right, I guess we'll go. I love you guys. It's time to jet out of here. And we'll be on the chat for just a few minutes. And it's time to go. Love you guys. And we will talk to you later.